It's a blessing to always come to the house of the Lord and have the great honor and privilege of worshiping together with the Lord's people, praying and hoping that what we do this very day will be acceptable in the sight of Almighty God. We're certainly thankful and hopeful that our efforts today would please Him. They wouldn't please man, I'll assure you, because the simple ways of the Lord are not pleasing unto man. So I hope today that our sole purpose here today is to honor God and to please Him in the best way we know possible. This past week, Suzanne and I were blessed to spend the week at singing school. I was going out off and on, and she was there the entire week with our grandchildren, and what a blessing it was. And one of them I had to take home Wednesday, Colton and Destiny's son, but very thankful for that and thankful to have made the sacrifice. And I know the kids loved it and they enjoyed being over there amongst God's people and enjoying that time of singing and fellowship, and look forward to many more years of it. And hopefully that'll make a difference in the lives of the young folks that attend there. Every year when we go to singing school, they have a theme over there, and Brother Dickey asked me to speak Wednesday morning, and I tried to speak for just a little bit. But the theme over there was love and patience. And I think it's very fitting in this song and something that's still on my mind that maybe I can extend a little bit on. You know, I asked the youngsters, and they spoke up. I asked them if they love the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and when we love someone, regardless of whether it's the Lord or a member of our family, generally that love is made manifest by what we do in our lives, not by just the verbal words that go forth. Then I asked them this question, and they didn't answer it. But the second question is, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, why do you love Him? Why do you love Him? The Bible tells us we love Him because He first loved us. For no other reason, we didn't begin to love. You know, that's the world will tell you if you'll just love Jesus. But John, 1 John chapter 4 says we love Him because He first loved us. If Jesus hadn't loved us first, we'd have never loved Him. You know, Jeremiah was told over in the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, he says, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He said, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. That means there was never a day that God did not love Jeremiah. God did not love His people. And because of the everlasting love He had for His people, He drew Jeremiah in the same manner that He drew you and I at some given point in our life. You know, once we begin to believe the things of God's Word, that's not what brought about our being born of the Spirit of God. It's just an evidence that our desire to hear those things and that our ability to believe upon those things is an evidence that God in His sovereign work touched our spirits at some given point before that time. Just as you were born from your mother's womb and you came into this earth, the acts that you commit from then on followed the life that you were given when you were born into this natural world. You never acted before you had life. This song says love is the greatest thing this world has ever known. And it really is. I mean, the love of God is at the center of the entire Bible. Now, some people use that wrong. We're told that for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. We're told that he that spareth the rod hates his son. Basically, from a spiritual standpoint and a natural standpoint, one of the greatest acts of love is as we correct those that get out of line. God corrects us as His children. You're caught in the Word of God to correct your own natural children in the manner that God set forth. And in doing so, it's the greatest evidence of love that you and I have from a spiritual sense, and it ought to be the greatest evidence that our children have in a natural sense, is that we're willing to correct them in the error of their way, to straighten them out, if you would. Now, it goes on and it says in verse 5, love makes us suffer long, suffer long. Now, that suffer there does not mean to physically suffer. It means to have patience. God is long-suffering. You know, if we go to Galatians chapter 5 and we begin to look at the fruit of the Spirit, the first thing mentioned is love. Is love. Love causes us, when you love somebody, it causes you to suffer long or to be patient with them. You know, patience is something that we have a hard time with. But it says, love makes us suffer long and not to seek our own. Again, the Bible is clear that we're to love our neighbor as ourself. We're to love our neighbor as thyself. The Bible tells us that we love ourselves. I think that's very evident. We all love ourselves. We all want what we want. We want it when we want it, the way we want it. But the Bible says that when we manifest God's love, when we begin to understand that love, that we will love our neighbor. Who is our neighbor? Well, it's somebody that lives beside you. That's what most people think. It's somebody sitting beside you. It can be your own family member. I believe your neighbor is anybody out here in the world. I believe that's the context given to us in Matthew chapter 22. We know that the Old Testament was full of laws. One law after the other, one rule after the other. And you and I could not keep those laws, could not live up to those standards. And thanks be to God for His amazing love. He sent His only Son, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God gave the best that He had to secure the eternal salvation that you and I have this great hope for every day that we live. As you get older, and some of you aren't older, and you begin to see your body failing a little bit, and especially those that are of your loved ones, your parents or grandparents, you know, that great hope of heaven, that great hope of immortal glory, just it's something that becomes precious to you more and more, dearer and nearer to you more and more as you march on in time. Because you don't like to see anybody that you love afflicted or going through great difficulties. But that's part of life that we have to deal with. It says it helps us to act as Christians should and imitate God's Son. That is so true there. I ask you today, how many of you want to be like Jesus? I asked him that question. Now, honestly, do you want to be like Jesus? Now, I understand that in this life, you and I will never attain that level. But I tell you, as God's children, we should strive every day to be like Jesus. You know, everybody in the world wants to be like somebody. And unfortunately, even among Christians, Jesus is generally not on the top of the list. There's some athlete out there. There's somebody speaking out there. There's somebody doing these great things in the world that are temporal that people want to be like. But this song says that we might imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says we were given an example, left an example that we should follow in His steps. That should be the motivating goal and intent of each and every one of us as long as we live. You know, I told the folks over at singing school, they gather one time a year for 1 week to refine the skills that they learn from, say, Ainsley began when she was very little, and if she continues to go, they refine those skills in singing a cappella every year. But love and patience is something that we should refine each and every day that we live as long as we're up on this earth. Because a lot of people will tell you, I just don't have any patience with this individual. But you go to Galatians chapter 5, and you'll find that if you're born of the Spirit of God, if you bear fruit from that Spirit, and you're partaker of God's power of the Spirit, you can be patient. You can. You know, I used to never understood what it said that fervent charity in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 covereth a multitude of sin. What it literally means is you and I, our love for our brother or sister, our friend, our neighbor, it can't take away their sins. But friend, our love should not dwindle for that person who may have offended us or may have done wrong out here in life. When we love them enough, we understand. If not for the grace of God, we could have been the person doing that ourselves. You know, God was patient with us beyond all means, long-suffering with us beyond all means for the great love. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, polluted and corrupted down to the core, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. God loved you and I. He loved his elect so much that he sent his son to do what we couldn't do. And he assured us that regardless of how we live in this life, we may be chastened for it, we may be corrected for it, but one day we're going to live in heaven. But we ought to strive. We ought to be motivated to the great intent and the great desire in our hearts, this great desire to imitate Christ, to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, it's something that is an ongoing process in our lives, throughout our lives. We refine our singing skills once a week. 1 week, I mean, that is, at singing school to try to get better every year. But I tell you, this idea of loving folks and being patient with them is something that we need to work on and on through the entirety of our life. Every day, there's not a time that we're going to say that we've perfected love to the point that we don't need to get better at it. He left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Now, the Bible tells us that tribulations worketh patience. James tells us that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You know, when our faith is tried, when God puts us to the test, oh, so often we don't have the patience that we desire. We want the trial to end. We want things to get back to normal. We don't want God to continue to burn out the dross. But I tell you, there's times that God will cause those trials to linger, that we might learn to be patient. Sometimes it might be for a week or 2 weeks or a month or a year. Who knows how long that may have to be in our lives. God knoweth. But God tries us and he tests us because he loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness he has drawn you out of this world and put his spirit within you and given you the great hope of heaven. Let's notice, as this last verse says, our faith and hope will end when heaven we shall see. You know, there's coming a time that you won't no longer need any hope. Your faith will no longer be needed because you'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, but charity will still live on in all eternity. Love's never going to end. That's what it's all about. That's why you and I have a hope. That's why we were gathered together as God's children, because God loves us with an everlasting love. Notice what it says over in Romans 13, 15. You know, we talked about leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. But in Romans 15 and verse 5, it says, now the God of patience and consolation, the God of all patience, the long-suffering God who put up and tolerated you. Now, what does it mean to have patience? God has a lot of tolerance. God has a lot of mercy. You know, we're told in 2 Peter chapter 3 that the Lord is not willing, he's not willing that any of us should perish, but we should all come to repentance. Now, that perishing there is not an eternal perishing. It is not God's will to bring you into judgment. You know, as parents, it is not your will to have to punish your children. It's necessary often, but I don't believe it's your will. It's your great desire. I don't believe that. It was not God's will. It is God's will that we will turn from our wicked ways, that we will pray and seek his face, and then he will hear us from heaven. He will forgive us our sin, and he will heal our land. But he's not willing. He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's what God's desire is, that we would repent of the error of our ways. He's a long-suffering God. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? He left you an example that you should follow in his steps. And now he's granted to us by the power of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ that we should be like-minded one toward another. That means we should love one another with an everlasting love as best we can and have patience and long-suffering. You know, I told them children over, I said, when somebody offends you or lashes out at you or says something bad about you, you shouldn't stop loving them. You know, we're so thankful for the everlasting mercies of God. What amazes me as human beings, We want God's mercy. We want God's grace. We want God's compassion. But when it comes to our friends and our neighbors and our brothers and our sisters, we want an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Isn't that amazing? We want them to get what they got coming. But I'll tell you, if you stood before the throne of God, I'll assure you, you don't want what you got coming. You'll take mercy every time, I promise you. And why we want an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth in this life, I don't understand it. But we all got it. It's our human nature. That's what it means that fervent charity, charity is love in the Bible. Fervent charity, as Peter said, covereth a multitude of sin. When you love somebody enough, you don't stop loving them no matter how many times they bring wrong into your life, how many times they offend you. You know, Jesus said you have the ability to love your enemy. You can love those that curse you, you can love those that hate you, and you can love those that despitefully use you. Now, I want to tell you something right now. There's people sitting in, among God's people says, I can't do that. I can't do that. Well, I tell you, take a heed to the warning that was given to us in 2 Timothy chapter 3. There's a list of things laid out there that are warnings against letting ourselves fall into these conditions. There's a people there that God's people can become like. They can have a form of God, not godliness, but deny the power thereof. When we don't love folks the way we should, and when we're not patient with folks, and when we say that we cannot do that, we deny the power of God to change and affect our lives. You know, we're to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I can tell you right now, of our own strength and of our own flesh, we cannot love people the way that we should. We cannot be patient with people. But I tell you, patience comes from love, real love. God was patient with us in an amazing way. Why? Because He loved us. If we're to be like-minded one toward another, we're to have that same kind of patience according to Jesus Christ. We're to have that same kind of love. And I'm telling you, it's something that we got to refine, because there are folks out in the world that are not easy to love. But Jesus Christ on the Sermon on the Mount says you can love those people that curse you. Not easy to do, is it? How easy is it for you to love folks that hate you? It's not easy. But by the power of Christ, we can do what we can't do in the natural realm of this world. By our own strength and by our own flesh, we can never love folks that way. Have you ever been around someone in the church or in the world that loves the Lord Jesus Christ and that love is being manifest in a mighty way? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Always found it interesting. He didn't say we would be called the sons of God. It literally means that some folks do not manifest the love they have within them. If you're born of the Spirit of God and you're bearing fruit, the first thing that we find in Galatians 5 and 22, I believe it is fruit, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. We love Him because He first loved us. He enabled us. That's the manner of love that you and I have. We can love the unlovable. We can love those that curse us. We can love those that hate us. I'm telling you, I know it's hard. And I know of my own will and my own strength, I can't do that. It's something that I need to refine and work on every day of my life. How many folks do you know out there in the world that you think you don't love? You think it's possible to love them? Well, I tell you, it's possible with the help of Jesus Christ. It's not possible of your own will and of your own strength. You know, let's notice what it says over here in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. If you really love folks, it's an evidence that you're a child of God. Now, if we're going to be like-minded, if we're going to do as that song says, if we're going to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ, it's extremely necessary in our lives to manifest this love. Behold, what manner of love. It's a love with great power. It's a love that will help you to love those that are hard to love, maybe those that have done you wrong. You know, your neighbor may be your friend sitting in the schoolroom class or at college or at work or your boss. Do you love them? You really don't want them to get what they got coming to them, do you? Because you don't want you to get what's coming to you. I mean, if we honestly think about it, we don't want that, but sometimes we act as though we do. We need to love them. It goes on and it says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Our hope of eternal salvation is based upon God's love and nothing else. For God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on us should not perish but have everlasting life. He goes on here and he says, it is manifested that the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might live, that we might live through him. Our only hope of living and our only hope of eternal life was through the sacrifice of the perfect and precious Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the only hope that we had. Herein is love. Listen to this. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. Friends, in a state of nature, we didn't love God and we never would have loved God. When he told Jeremiah, I have loved thee with an everlasting love and with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He was enabled by the Spirit of God to love the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people want to believe that you can just wake up on the right side of the bed one morning and a big change will happen, and it may if the Spirit of God touches you, and you'll just decide in your old human nature to love God. The Bible says you won't do it. The Bible says that things that pertain to God are always foolishness to them who are not born of the Spirit of God. It goes on and it says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. We ought to have great patience with one another, and we're not a very patient people. I know that I ain't, and it's something that I need to work on it, and it's something that we need to refine all the way down through the years of our lives, through all time, that we need to love one another. And I believe in evidence. I believe patience is a byproduct of that love. We're told in Matthew chapter 22 that we're to love God with everything that we have, with your heart, your soul, and your mind. Most of us could honestly say we probably fall short in that category. Because if we truly love God with everything that we got, we'd spend our entirety of days on this earth trying to honor him and live for his name. You know, I was talking to Brother Darrell this morning, and actually before I got here, thinking about preparing for worship service. And I thought about getting up on a Sunday morning and the things that were on my mind. Old Brother Paul Hardy up at Perryton used to pray to remove the vain and statutory things out of the presence of the house of God. And I just think, how many times have I come to the Lord's house with things of this world on my mind? That means I haven't properly prepared to worship the only true and living God. We're to elevate God above every matter in this life. That's your work, that's your activities, that's whatever we're doing. And I believe it begins with changing the way we think, making a conscious effort. You know, you might say, well, I can't do that. I am so busy. I've got so many things going on in life. I've got work to deal with. I've got this to deal with. I just can't do that. But when we do that, we deny the power of Almighty God to make a change in our lives. If the Spirit of God dwells within us, we have that power. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God, and God will draw nigh unto you. If you're not changed, it's because either you're not born of the Spirit of God or you're just unwilling, because the power of God cannot be overdone. I mean, God can change us. We so believe that we cannot be changed. But Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. If we're not loving folks the way we ought to love them, if we're not forgiving folks the way we ought to forgive them, if we're not having the patience we ought to have with folks, we need to draw nigh unto God. We need to meditate upon the Scriptures, and we need to pray for God's help in our life. I never said it would be easy. There are folks in this world that are not easy to love. But Jesus said you can love your enemies. You can love those that curse you. You can love those that hate you. And you can love those that despitefully use you, that you might be the children of your Heavenly Father. Once again, our goal in this life is to manifest the virtues of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, to imitate the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing. Notice over, you know, the second commandment, there's only two commandments in the New Testament. You can boil the whole Bible down to it, and they're both rooted in love, aren't they? Love God with everything you got, and love your neighbor as thyself. If you can do those two things, you got it all covered. Must not be easy to do, or we'd all have it covered, right? It's easy to love ourselves. It's just not easy to love others as ourselves. It takes the help of Almighty God. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Because we, of ourselves, we can't do that. But with the strength and the help of Almighty God, we can do what we think we can't do. Because it is the Spirit of God that enables us. In Galatians, let me get over and get just a few verses. And then I'm going to go over in 1 Corinthians and kind of close things out. And it says over in Galatians chapter 5, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And notice what follows after love. If you really love, folks, it's followed by joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith. Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Why is that? Because the power of God's love dwelling in every one of us supersedes that. It is the great trump card, if you want to call it that way. There's nothing greater than God's love. And God's children have that manner of love, you know, bestowed upon them. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. You know, when we're manifesting that love, when we're loving those that curse us, when we're loving those that hate us, when we're loving those folks that despitefully use us, and I'll tell you, you're going to find those folks out there in the world that despitefully use you. It says, then you're manifesting that you're one of God's children by the way you act and react to those folks. I tell you, love and patience is something that you and I need to refine day in and day out as long as we live upon this earth. There's coming a day that, as that song said, that, you know, faith is going to end. Hope is going to end. But the perfection of love, the perfect love of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to know. And it's going to last throughout all eternity. But as we live here in this life, we need to refine it. We need to do a better job. And we can, by the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells in every one of God's children. We can manifest that love by the way we walk and live and talk and react and act to others. And I'm here to tell you, it's not easy. I'm not going to say it for 1 minute it's easy. It takes something stronger than our own flesh, that's for sure, because the flesh desires not the things of Almighty God. We can love people that sometimes we think we just cannot love. It's possible. That ability exists within you by the power of the Holy Spirit, not of your own flesh. You need to pray to God, give me the strength to do what is right. From a fleshly standpoint, I don't feel right about it. Fervent charity cover a multitude, not just a couple of sins, a multitude of sin. In other words, when we love people enough, they can offend us over and over and over, and it never changes how we love them. Seems impossible, does it? It does to me, but the word of the Lord says it is possible. A lot of folks think it's impossible, and it is of our own strength. We go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It talks about charity. Down in verse 8, we're going to conclude there, but I'm going to read there first. It says, charity never faileth. Isn't that an amazing thing? The amazing love of God never fails. When we manifest that love to others, it will never fail. And you know, we were created for God's glory. And when you live and imitate the Lord Jesus Christ, when you love the unlovable or the hard to love, when you love the ones that don't like you, the ones that would do you harm, when you truly love those folks, you may not feel the best you've ever felt, but you honor the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what imitating Christ is all about. That's what following His example is all about. That's what's being like-minded. Let the mind of Christ be in us. Let it dwell in us. Didn't say it'd be easy. It won't. It began there. It says, charity suffereth long. Love is long-suffering. Love is patient. You know, God was extremely patient with you and I. He was long-suffering with you and I, not willing that any of us should perish, I'm thankful that God doesn't like to bring us into judgment. But when we stay out there off the beaten path, when we do wrong long enough, or we're in error long enough, aren't you thankful that you have an evidence that God has chastened you? Because if you God loves you, He chastens you at some given point in our lives, every one of us. If you've never been chastened by the Lord probably doesn't love you. Because for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son that He receiveth. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Love is kind. It doesn't let anger supersede the kindness. You be kind. And I just think so much about a dear brother that was with us last week, and Brother Jim Troutner. And I mean, he's just a picture of kindness, a picture of love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've known him for years, and he manifests that. And that's all that the God tells us to do. You know, his love is not perfect. Neither is any of our love perfect. But it is a great blessing to see that manifestation of God's love in God's people. That brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our sole purpose for being created upon this earth. It is kind. Charity envieth not. It's not jealous. You know, oftentimes people become jealous of what their loved ones have obtained in life, or you know, they believe they've been dealt a bad card, or they don't have what somebody else has. When we really love folks, we don't become jealous of them or what they have or any other circumstance. Not easy again. It takes the power and the might of Almighty God. It says, charity vaunteth not itself and is not puffed up. In other words, when we really love folks, we don't go around boasting. We don't go around bragging on how great a child of God we are. We do it in great humility. You know, we're steadfast. We're disciplined. You know, when I told the folks over at singing school that love and patience is something that needs to be refined through the entirety of our life, it is. It's not something we're going to learn today and never have another problem and be perfect tomorrow. It needs refined as we go through life. We make mistakes. We're sinners. We've come short of the glory of God. But it ought to be the motivating part of our lives. It ought to be a great motivation in our hearts to strive to do what we're called upon to do, to really love those that don't show love toward us, that maybe want to injure us, maybe want to do us wrong. From a fleshly standpoint, that's not easy to do, but with the help of Almighty God, we can do that. I know we can. Doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own. You know, when we really love folks, we want them to have something better than we got. There is a story of a man, two men in the Bible, and that's David and Jonathan. Jonathan loved David so much that his heart was, or souls was knit together. He loved David's soul more than he loved his own. So we know there are somebody that can do that. There are some folks because it's written down in the Word of God for us. He warned David time and time again of his father Saul's intent to kill him. And he got away because he loved David. It's amazing that this young boy, Jonathan, could love his friend more than he loved his own dad. But he loved him every bit as much as he loved his own soul, as he loved his dad or anyone else. That's the kind of love we have the capability of having here in this life. And the more that love you and I can manifest among God's children, the more we'll be recognized, not by God or by the world, as a light that shines in a dark place, doing the right thing. You know, we can only change ourselves. You know, that's the truth. Sometimes we have a problem of thinking we need to go change everybody else. You know, there's enough work to do on each and every one of us. We don't need to spend time trying to change other folks. Most of us need to spend time refining ourselves, changing ourselves, changing the way we think. There's plenty to work on right there. It says, do not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. When we really love folks, we don't get angry in a hurry. We don't get angry fast. Hopefully, we don't get angry at all. It's something that I certainly need to work on. You know, I have not come close to perfecting it, but God's Word says if we'll draw nigh unto God, if we'll pray unto God, meditate upon His Word, with the help and the strength of Almighty God and the Spirit that dwells within us, we can do far beyond what we think or ask with the help of Almighty God, because we can't do it in our own strength. It says, it rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. And it says, it thinketh no evil. In other words, real love doesn't keep score. We have a tendency to do that. We don't keep score, and that means we don't keep up with the wrongs that people do to us. You know, if you really love somebody and they do you wrong, let it go. The evidence that you can't let it go is you continue on and on, day after day and week after week, bringing it up, talking about it. If you love these folks, let it go and move on. Because it festers in us like a sore when we bring it up and bring it up. Let it go. Just love them. Think of no evil. Don't keep score. Don't keep tabs. And finally, it says, charity never faileth. I tell you, the love that God has given us, that dwells within us, and the ability that we have through the Spirit of God, we can love those folks that are hard to love. We really can. And when you love those folks and you manifest that manner of love, you honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that very purpose have we been brought into this world. For that very purpose were we created. And you know, our temporal time upon this earth is very short. There's coming a day that the love that we have will be perfected, every one of us. And it'll last throughout all eternity. And what a day that will be when my Jesus we shall see. But charity is the greatest thing this world has ever known. And we're going to sing that last song that we started with. Let's sing that again, number 252, as we close the service. And if there be one here that has a desire to have a home in this church, you come forward at this time and the church will assist you. But just remember how powerful God's love can be in your life and how you need God's help to love those that are not easily loved. Because we live around folks. We're of different personalities. We're of different makes. We live different things, do different things in life, but we all have something that is common if we're children of God, and that's the Spirit of God dwelling within us. May God bless you is my prayer.